some stark numbers to consider. 25% of the federal contracting workforce has less than 5 years of experience, and there are 10 times more contractors over 50 years old than under 30. Dave Wintergreen is Senior Vice President for Technology at the Professional Services Council, and looking at those splits in age and considering the right tools for the right job. Dave, it's always terrific to have you on the program. I want to start at the end of what you're writing here. You write about a book, Start With Why, and you're one of the most voracious book readers I know. Why is this book important in your mind, and what does it say about what you think about the federal IT community? Thanks for being on, my friend.
Absolutely. It's great to be with you, Francis. So Simon Sinek, in his book Start With Why, I think has a perfect analogy for what we so often see in the technology business today, that we get very excited about the what, think the shiny object, the new technology, the new system, and we don't spend nearly enough time talking about the why. And so the basic premise of his book is that you should start with why. You should start with the outcome that you want to achieve, and then sort of work your way to how, which is a lot about the value proposition of the work, and then get yourself into the specifics about what. And then you will be doing things like leveraging technology to create a better outcome rather than starting with a system in mind and then trying to figure out how to make it fit.
So I don't want to dwell on this. This is not naval contemplation, but I think it's important to consider to help us understand how to change it. Is this a human nature issue? Is this a bureaucracy and process issue? Is it cultural inherent that's inherent in government organizations? Why do we do this when you explain it, and when I look at the concepts in the book, it seems pretty logical, Dave.
I would say yes, yes, and yes. I think, right? I mean, so we become, in your lead-in, you talked about how the government technology workforce is aging, has great experience, but has been in the job for a long, long time. Contracting officer workforce is new and less experienced. So you have a contracting workforce that may not have built up years of experience about how to use the flexibilities that exist in the rules, so you sort of collapse on the tools that you know best. You have a technology workforce that, maybe more adept at some of the ways that we have done business rather than the looking towards the future. And so this creates the perfect storm for let's figure out what we want to do rather than let's figure out the outcomes that we want to achieve and how do you get there? Because how do you get there might be a different approach, which was hence the title of my article, which was, you need the right tool for the right job. And if you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail. But maybe not so, right? The outcome that you're looking for in the technology business could be the adoption of commercial off-the-shelf software. It could be software development. It could be getting a managed service, an outcome-based contract to get the work done. And so, starting with the end in mind seems simple, but it really makes you shake the foundation of how you go about contracting for work and how you go about describing your requirements.
It seems like more folks would have read Stephen Covey than it appears have read Stephen Covey. and you and I actually talked about one of his son's books about trust in the recent past.
Mm-hmm.
And it strikes me that might be part of the issue here. It might be part of the issue that you have a contracting workforce in IT that is more youth-oriented, and a civilian workforce and a career workforce in government that is more veteran, and I don't mean military veteran, just veterans of their agencies focused, and that trust issue about those folks don't know what I know, both directions, might be part of the problem.
I think so. The relentless communication and having data drive decisions rather than, I'll say, fear and anecdote is spot on to this topic, because I'll say there's two factors at work. One is we're reluctant to give up our personal control. We like it a lot better when we own all the stuff ourselves. And then, coincident with that, do you trust the other, whoever the other is, the other agency, the other part of my organization, the private sector provider? And so you're absolutely right. We start with a conversation that demands, very rigid statements of work rather than having the freedom to ask for an outcome and be delighted that a company would come in and offer you a different approach. So being willing to move from risk avoidance to risk management and being willing to ask for an outcome and see what comes in rather than figuring that you have to control every step of the process is a change, and it's hard. And it sounds easy when you talk about it, but human nature kicks in. It's just like the stuff about sunk costs. We all learn in college about sunk costs, but yet, you know, when it's the money for our program, we can't let go.
Dave Wennergren of the Professional Services Council is writing an FCW under the title The Right Tool for the Job, and there's a link to it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon. You write, agile methodologies are currently riding a wave of mounting enthusiasm in government. That's a good thing, right, Dave?
I think so. I think it's sort of fascinating that, you know, Agile, which of course came out of the Agile software development world, has sort of taken on a management tone. Sort of think next generation, total quality management, then Lean Six Sigma. And now people are talking about Agile as a methodology to get work done. So, you know, an Agile contracting process, not just an Agile software development process, which is great as long as you really think about what that means. Because I think so often what happens is because the roots of Agile comes from Agile software development, we again look at it as, you know, the hammer and the nail, and so we say, well, the outcome for the contracting action should be software development. And that's sort of missing the point. Perhaps one of the key themes in the Agile process is Agile discovery, i.e., you know, if we want to achieve this outcome, what would be the right contracting approach, and then tailor ourselves to get to that outcome. And again, you know, it may not be in-house software development. It may be about getting something that's already built, or it may be about hiring someone to do the actual work process rather than just hiring someone to build you a system.
And that goes back to the importance of understanding what all the tools are that are in your toolbox, I suppose, knowing that we could do it this way or this way or this way or this way or whatever the 10 other ways are.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's sort of at the heart of so much of the dialogue on acquisition reform, that there are outcomes that you want to achieve, you know, set aside changes to the rules and stuff. Just within the rule set that exists today in the federal acquisition regulation, there are different paths that you can use to get to different outcomes, and we tend not to use the right paths. There's a fascinating perception management issue going on right now where people are opining that we can't get innovation from our current providers. And I would offer to you, it is far less about who you're asking and far more about how you're asking for it. And again, you know, if you don't think about statements of objectives and performance-based contracts and ways to sort of open the aperture where you would reward alternative proposals rather than punish them, right, then of course you're going to get the same old answer because you're sort of demanding it.
The concept of how versus who you're asking and how being more important is one that, I mean, we could probably spend the rest of the program on that. In the time that we have left, though, how do you change mindsets and change cultures to get folks to start to think? Because that's a big, I think that's a dramatic mindset change, worldview change that you have to drive, Dave.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, and there's no panacea for it. I do think that theme we mentioned earlier about relentless communication is hugely important. You have to help people understand. You need a workforce that's trained and ready, and so they've gone beyond basic, I'll say, FAR boot camp and have actually had the chance to talk through how do you do commercial contracting, how do you do the different things that you can do. I applaud efforts that are trying to wrap our heads around this. The fact that the Office of Federal Procurement Policy is talking about 360-degree evaluations of the acquisition process to make sure we're doing it right, those kinds of efforts are really helpful because, you know, there are many tools for the job, and you ought to demand up front that we're going to think about the outcome we want to achieve and talk about why that matters.
What do we do with this, like, first steps to try to push the changes that you're suggesting here or the understandings that you're suggesting here? What are the immediate takeaways in your mind, Dave?
Well, besides talking to you.
You're very flattering. You know, keep going.
Well, you know, at the Professional Services Council, we've identified a number of recommendations, I'll say, for all phases of the government contracting process that would help us actually use the flexibilities that exist. Again, if you think about the outcome that you want to achieve, and then you ask your industry partners to bring their best game, if you do statements of objectives rather than rigid statements of work, if you consider the possibility that managed services and performance-based contractings and some of the flexibilities that exist could give you the opportunity to hear more. If we understand like ideas like the things that have been put forward in Mythbusters, that, you know, you got to communicate with your industry partners and that you got to ask them for their best ideas, because that way you'll be partnering together to come up with a better outcome. All these things are doable, but I think they demand that we all take it back to our offices and go ask why we're not doing it that way.